May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable unto you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. The second letter to the Thessalonians is a troublesome one. So troublesome that most preachers, the smart ones anyway, just avoid it altogether. Thanks for laughing, Jill. You see, there are a number of issues with it that make it not only challenging to preach on, but generally uninspiring, such as uncertainty regarding authorship, like really who wrote these words, a few odd themes describing a very judgmental God who loves to punish people, along with a thread that seems to condone the righteous rage of the faithful. To top it all off, it spends most of its energy discussing the end times, something which tends to make good Protestants like us rather uncomfortable. But for the newly formed congregation to whom this letter was sent, the end of days were actually a really big deal. It was coming, they had been told, and soon. Things get kicked up to a whole new level, however, when word on the street is the end times weren't only coming, but had in fact already arrived. People panicked. They were filled with fear and anxiety. They looked around them and saw that the world was falling apart, like totally going to hell in a handbasket. Things were lawless, leaders were unethical, people were being persecuted for their faith and their beliefs, all signs that the end was upon them. But they were confused, too, because if the end times had come, then what was the point of them continuing to do all the things that Paul was asking them to do? Things like, I don't know, going to work, or feeding the hungry, welcoming strangers, and treating each other with love, respect, and compassion. You know, all those really hard and tiresome things Jesus prattled on about so much, and Paul encouraged his followers to do. So one day, into the chaos of their uncertainty, a letter arrived. And while we don't know who wrote it, its intention was quite clear. It tried to curb the fear and misunderstanding that had risen up about the end times. It encouraged the people to stay faithful in the midst of chaos, and it reminded them to hold fast to their traditions, that through them they might find comfort and strength. Traditions. We all have them. Those wonderful, fun, sometimes odd things our families do from one year to the next. They are amazing, though I fear that we get so caught up in the doing of them that sometimes we forget to stop and remember the meaning behind them, the reasons why we started doing them in the first place. And so I love the idea that Thessalonians offers, that our traditions are meant to comfort and strengthen us, that they should do more than feed nostalgia and give us the occasional long weekend. I love to think of the ways our traditions mark the passage of time. Honor milestones. Celebrate lives lived. Draw people together in love. And remind us of the past, the good parts of it, and the bad, that we might do everything in our power to learn from our history and to act in ways that will build a community that is blessed with healing, hope, forgiveness, and peace. Traditions can do this if we allow them to. They can affect how we live and move if we slow down a little and pay attention to them, or more importantly, to why we do them. So November 1st rolls around, and one by one, poppies begin to bloom on coat lapels until we see them everywhere, each one offering a silent but powerful thank you. Children learn the rhythm of an old poem, one they find rather confusing, truth be told. They don't know what guns sound like. They are not used to speaking of the dead in such a familiar manner. But they do know that the words are really important to the elders in their lives, and so they learn them willingly. trusting they have value and purpose. Photos of veterans and those who love them flash on computer screens the world over. The black and white images speaking to loves lost and loves found, to families that were never the same again, and to a bravery that we seem so hungry for today. Finally, the words, "never again, and lest we forget," find their way from our hearts to our lips. And when we speak them, we mean them. Like the Thessalonians, we don't have to look too hard to discover leaders who lack integrity, or to hear stories of countries ravaged by war, or find images of children who are scared and starving. It is all so overwhelming. It would be easy and quite frankly understandable if we were to throw up our hands and say, what's the point? Why bother doing any of the things Jesus asks us to do when no matter how faithful we are, no matter how hard we try, there is simply no way we can heal a world that is so deeply wounded. There is just too much. And like the Thessalonians, we are reminded. We are reminded of those who walked the throne before us. We are reminded that peace just doesn't happen. It takes work. It takes a lot of work. In his book, Creating True Peace, Thich Nhat Hanh wrote that peace is not simply the absence of violence. It is the cultivation of understanding, insight, and compassion combined with action. To embrace tradition without thought and intention would render it powerless. It would make times like this just one more long weekend in a long string of long weekends. But for those of us who gather, for those who pause in the midst of the chaos, in the middle of the world's uncertainty, in our own fear of what the future may hold, we stand firm. We hold fast to the tradition we were taught. And we remember. We remember so that the price of this peace will never fade from our memories. We remember so that our honoring of the sacrifices made will be done in a way that gives dignity to the willingness of the men and women who gave up everything in order that children they will never know can sit on a church floor and take poppies to a paper cross. And then we give the tradition to our children, so that they might carry it from here. Not in an empty, sentimental manner, but in a way that might help them come to understand something they have never had to experience. In a way that teaches them they are the fortunate ones, that too many around the world do not know the same security they do. And in a way that might empower them and all of us to live our lives in ways that cherish peace, foster it, and build it. In the end, these things that comfort and strengthen us, they become more than just traditions. They come to reflect the way we choose to live our lives, they shape how we see the world, and they guide our feet into the way of peace. St. Francis of Assisi prayed that he might be a channel of God's peace, that through him the places of the world that were touched with hatred, sorrow, judgment, and fear might instead know mercy, comfort, understanding, and love. May the traditions we hold fast to continue to comfort and strengthen us in such a way that they might become more than just traditions, and that we too might do what we can to be channels of God's peace in this broken and hurting world. Amen.